Now, what is the correct way to pronounce your stage name?
So it's funny you ask that because a lot of people, they'll pronounce it as A-L instead of Al. But the only reason why I wrote it as that because, you know, I'm like growing up, I'm hard headed. So like people would just yell and they're like, Al, like, so I just put it like capitalized, like just A-L as Al. So, and then Judson is just a part of it, so.
Do people misspell it as well?
Yeah, when I go to Starbucks, like they would like put it as like at ale, like ginger ale instead of owl. So it's like, bro, it's like two letters, bro. Like,
what do you notice people do more, zooming out, mispronounce or misspell the stage name of yours?
Just pronunciation.
Now, do you accept any abbreviations of this stage name of yours?
No, just Al. Yeah.
Well, just Al, that would be an abbreviation of Al Jetson.
Yeah.
So you do accept abbreviations of this stage name of yours, then?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. Now, do you prefer people call you by your full stage name or this abbreviation?
Just by the stage name, just Al Jetson. But, you know, most people that I know, they just call me Al, so, but I just like, you know, when you're like greeting, like, oh, you're Al Jetson, right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm Al Jetson.
Now, can you share the meaning behind the Jetson portion of this stage name of yours?
Okay, so Jetsons is one of my favorite cartoon shows. And when I was in college, I was a cybersecurity major and IT major, so it's like I invented a lot of things while I was in my studies. So like I would, you know, at the time I used a 3D printer, created some prosthetic arms, legs. So like I went the inventor route. And you know, for this generation is that we are the future. So it's like, I thought to myself, you know, Al Jetson, I wanna move forward and not backwards with life and how we create things, so.
Now, care to share the name of the college you're referencing as well?
Okay, so the university that I went to was University at Albany. So it was a state university that's located in New York, like upstate, like the capital of it. So, yeah.
And care to share any of your inventions?
Okay, so, like I said before, I created some prosthetic legs. I 3D printed some like some skulls just to see like the 3D like structure of it. My goal, I want to definitely program a robot and maybe like a jetpack because like I'm kind of tired of like the public transportation is like so slow over there. Like it takes like forever to get to the city. So I'd rather just fly than just wait. So yeah.
Now for those in the audience getting to know you for the very first time, care to share where you were born?
So I was born in Washington, D.C., Providence Hospital to be exact. Both of my parents, they met at Howard University, and then they got married and they had me in the 90s. So 97 was I was born, so July 28th, 1997 to be exact. And then around 3 months, I've moved to Brooklyn, my mom. And we stayed with my grandma, and then I've been raised in Brooklyn ever since.
And care to share your current age at this point?
I am 26.
And still reside in Brooklyn to this very day?
So I was staying in L.A. for a bit earlier this year, but I came back to Brooklyn.
What was the reason for the move to L.A., and what was the reason for the move back?
I just needed to be around like-minded individuals. Like where I was at in New York and Brooklyn, it was just kind of like a bunch of closed-minded people, a lot of negativity. I just wanted to just create with creatives. And like the culture back in New York was just kind of like, I wasn't gonna be able to grow. I was too comfortable, actually. I was very comfortable. I feel like, okay, maybe I could just do this tomorrow. But in LA, I was just like, I was getting onto it. I was hungry, I wanted more, like, but in New York, it was just like, maybe I can do it next week, and yeah.
Why didn't you continue to stay in LA?
The strike happened, And then also, like, my grandma got sick. So I just decided just to come back to New York.
And that was the same grandmother that you're referencing on the mother's side of your family?
Yes.
Now, you may have shed some light onto this next question's answer, but still we'll formally ask you anyways, just in case you want to add on to what you just said. And if not, we'll skip it and move forward with other questions. But the question is going to be, what was that really like growing up in Brooklyn for you?
So I was raised in East Flatbush. That's where, you know, where Joey Badass is from, Bobby Shmurda, Rowdy Rebels on the other side of East Flatbush. I'm more in the center area. So it was kind of, it was like a mixture of just like, because I came up as a Catholic school kid. So the Catholic school that I went to was in the middle of the hood. So like, you know, us trying to, you know, do well in life, you also have a lot of obstacles and bad influence that corrupts it. So I've grew up with like people that end up turning like Crip, Folk, Blood, end up doing jail time, losing their life. And I had to just use what they went through as a way of, I don't want to be like that. I want to just continue going forward with just being productive as a person in society. But East Flatbush was kind of cool. Like, I would never want to be from anywhere else but East Flatbush. Like, I'm from East Flatbush, and, like, I'm just proud to be from there because it's I wouldn't say, like a very close community, but it's, like, everybody from there, around, depending on what type of, like, generation you're from, like, everybody knows everybody. So it's kind of close community, so.
Now, what was the name of that Catholic school you're referencing here?
So I went to St. Therese of Lisieux Catholic Elementary School. And then I went to Bishop Ford Central Catholic High School during my high school years. Then I transferred my freshman year to St. Emin Preparatory High School. I ended up finishing my high school years from there. And then I ended up going to SUNY Old Westbury, Long Island. Left there, went to Borough Manhattan Community College in Manhattan. Then I got my associate's degree from there, from criminal justice. Then I ended up going to University at Albany for my bachelor's. So I have like a dual major, criminal justice, cybersecurity degree. So I've been, my academic journey's been pretty long, but it was worth it, so.
Now, how long do you think you were raised in East Flatbush specifically for?
Okay, so I was raised my whole life in East Flatbush because I was born in D.C., but I was never raised in D.C. I left D.C. when I was about 3 months old, and my mom and my grandma raised me from then. So I came from a Jamaican Caribbean background. So it's like they taught me, like, you know, just manners and stuff like that.
Now, growing up in East Flatbush, what was the bottom point for you during your upbringing in that area? What was your lowest point or most negative moment growing up there?
Just seeing how my mom had to juggle between raising my siblings and I, and also maintaining us in Catholic school. Just because somebody went to Catholic school doesn't mean that they're like rich or higher middle class. Like, I've done seen my mom just make so many sacrifices for us that she would have not made for herself. And I definitely do, like, I got love for her for that. Like, I respect that too. So I decided to, you know, finish college for her.
How many siblings did you end up having?
So I have two siblings, my brother and my sister.
And as far as ages, where do you stand on the ladder?
So I'm the oldest.
And is it same mother and father for all three of you?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Now, how were you able to survive that upbringing in East Flatbush?
My mom was strict. So my mom was very strict. Like, she would, like, because I used to get in a lot of trouble in school, so she would try to threaten me to, like, oh, I would take you out of this Catholic school and bring you to the public school down the block. And the public school down the block was very, like, there's a lot of people, like, a lot of drill artists came from there. I don't remember who went to that school, though, but, like, the ones that I've grew up with, like, they're just, like, crazy, like, in the head, like, just aggressive and stuff like that. So when I was younger, I'm like, oh, nah. Like, to me, that felt like, you take bring the juvie or prison, like, so I just decided to, like, just kind of eased up a bit and just focused on my academics.
Now, there are some people who say things like, don't know if I'll make it to see the age of 18, maybe 21, for example. Did you have any of these thoughts yourself growing up in East Flatbush?
No. But it's funny because I started having those thoughts now. Am I going to see 30? And I'm just saying that based on, like, my health, because I've been having a lot of health complications lately. So, but I've been trying to be mindful and, like, how to just take care of my body now. Like, since quarantine, a lot of people started, like, going to, like, the gym and stuff like that. We started being mindful of our mind, body, and spirit. And I just started, you know, just realizing, like, what my body can take and what my body can't take when it comes to, like, you know, just food and stuff like that. I stopped smoking. I drink occasionally, but I hardly smoke. Like, I don't even smoke anymore. Like, because what I've seen growing up in East Flatbush, like, I've seen people that I've grew up with, like the popular people, like people that's balling, become crackheads. Like, really crackheads, like, just, these were nice clothes. Now they got holes in their T-shirts, looking at the right side of mine. And it's like, that's the real reason why I stopped smoking, actually. I'm like, yo, I'm just not, I don't want to look like that. Like, it was a dub. Because nowadays, the weed is not even the weed anymore. Like, that's like K2 or something, like, or like whatever they got inside there. Like, because, like, I'm going to be honest. Yeah, I'm going to be honest, yeah. So when I was going out, I went to Old Westbury, I used to sell. But it was work study to me because, like, I was doing it in my dorm. Because, you know, like, me trying to apply for jobs and whatnot, being a full-time student, they wouldn't take me as a full-time student, and I was wanting to have money in my pocket. So I was like, you know what? I seen other students, they need bug men, whatever. Like, the school I went to was kind of, like, secluded. And I knew how I was able to go from, like, Brooklyn and New York. I mean, Brooklyn and Long Island, so I was able to go back and forth. So, you know what? I'm going to just hit up my peoples, and I'm going to just do what I got to do. And I kind of regret that decision, too, because I end up getting kicked out of school. But I also learned that when you make fast money, like, the lifestyle is fast, too. And it's a lot of consequences that come with it. Like, I could have lost my life a couple times, but I got lucky. But I'm not gonna be cocky about it. I'm blessed to understand what was going on. So yeah.
You mentioned getting kicked out. Did that also lead to some sort of criminal charge as well?
Not really. It was just more like they had a saying that I just got kicked out the school, but they kind of sealed it from, like, my school records because I decided to end up transferring somewhere else and redeem myself. So, but yeah.
And which school did that take place at?
That was SUNY Old Westbury. Like, that school was very strict. Like, I feel like half of my freshman class got kicked out. Like, it was, like, ridiculous. Just off pettiness, like, so.
Now, when you say you've quit smoking, is that just in reference to cannabis or smoking totally?
Just cannabis, because I smoke hookah probably once a month. If I go to an event, I'm just trying to kill time. I smoke, like, a hookah or something, but I don't need the hookah. So, but if I want to, I'll smoke it. But the cannabis, like, I don't smoke none of that. Like, I thought about it a couple of days ago. Like, even if I wanted to smoke cannabis, I would have to grow it myself. Because I wouldn't say I have trust issues, but I don't trust buying from other people, because some people could be very shady, or, you know, like, I've seen it all with, like, people getting laced and people passing out. I'm walking inside the bathroom, and I see my homeboy passed out dead, like, and then they had to revive him, and then he came back, and I realized that he overdosed, and it's just, like, me just seeing certain things, like, just told me, like, I'm gonna just not smoke or do any other crazy drugs like that. But the drinking was more like occasionally socially, but I don't really drink as much though.
And that's drinking liquor?
Yeah.
How long has it been now since you last touched cannabis itself? Rough estimate.
Probably last March.
March of 2023 or 2022?
2022. Yeah, I haven't touched. And also, it was easier for me, too, because I don't know how to roll. So I would act, like, back in, like, years before, like, I would ask people, like, yo, like, I got an ounce. Let's, you know, you able to just, like, I will front you the ounce. Just, you know, roll something else for me, and then we could just smoke together. Or, like, you know, because when I'm trying to roll, like, I feel like I got, like, Parkinson's. I'd be shaking and stuff, trying to roll it, and it's just, like, crazy. So I just decided, like, you know what, it's not worth the stress. I'm just not going to smoke. Like, it's probably a reason to it.
How long were you a cannabis smoker for back in those days?
So I started smoking, the first time I started smoking was with my best friend in junior high school. I think you interviewed her a couple years back. She go by Alex. Yeah, so we met in high school, whatever. Like, so I wanted to try weed, so we just smoked and stuff like that. And I guess after a while, like, I started smoking with other people that I knew and in college. And I realized that smoking kind of done something kind of negative towards me. Like, I wasn't acting normal if, like, I was just, like, dancing. Like, I was acting like a drunk person. Like, if I'm drunk, I act high. If I'm high, I act drunk. So, to me, it just didn't make any sense. I'm like, I don't like how it's doing, like, these things are doing to me type stuff. And then I have asthma, so I was having a hard time breathing after a while. So, it was just, like, I just had to stop, like, the smoking. So I started from, I guess, 2014 and stopped 2022. So I guess about 8 years.
And how often would you smoke cannabis back in those days?
Okay, so from 2014 to 2016, because I was in college at that school, Westbury. So, because the school was like, it was so boring, so we just smoked literally every day after class. But as time went by, like I started commuting at a city school after I left Westbury, so I didn't smoke as much. I was more focused on just trying to graduate on time and just trying to do better and get better grades than the grades that I had the last semester. So I was smoking a lot during 2014, 2016, probably almost daily. But from 2017 to 2022, it was occasionally. Like, once in a while, smoke if I'm going to an event or if I'm, like, on a vacation or traveling out of the country. But, yeah, like, I could, like, live without it, so.
The years it was almost a daily occurrence, if not a daily occurrence, asking you respectfully here, but were you addicted by any chance?
Like, if I wanted to stop, like, I would stop. But the people around me, like I said before, like, it's who you hang out with. There was people that I knew that was itching or having bad attitudes because they weren't smoking. And I had to stay away from people like that because they be bugging out. So I didn't want to have that type of negative energy on me. So
the very last time you smoked cannabis, it was...
roughly last year.
It was an instant stop, like the flip of a light switch, so to speak.
It's costly, too. Like, I could use my money for something else, so.
But to finish up that thought or question, it was the flip of a light switch for you, so to speak.
Because I think I was in Los Angeles I was staying in downtown Los Angeles, and I've seen like crackheads on Skid Row, and I was like, I can't be like that. Because like, I'm not saying like all cannabis is bad cannabis, but like, you gotta understand, like, when it comes to buying from a drug dealer, and coming from my own experience, because for me, like, I just wanted to make money. Some people, they just shady. They don't care. Like, if they wanted the lace, they gonna lace you. Feel me? So it's like, you gotta. It's like, your bud man is like your barber and your dentist. Not your dentist, your barber and your doctor. You have to trust them, because they're dealing with your livelihood. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, you have to have that relationship. And then people that I knew that I used to smoke with, they used to just cop from just anybody. And I realized to myself that you just met that guy yesterday and you want to cop from him? You're crazy. Like, he probably could have laced you with, like, fentanyl or something. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. Facts.
You mentioned throughout this discussion things like K2 and...
Yeah.
You know, fake synthetic versions of cannabis, and then, you know, fentanyl and things of that nature. Do you think during those times you did smoke cannabis, you ever smoked a synthetic version of it or a laced version of it?
Okay, so the person that I was beefing with that got me kicked out of school, I think he laced me. And I'm not even saying I won't all smoke with him or anything like that, because that situation already like dead and done with. But nowadays I gotta wash my back if I'm in the city, because you know the city's small. You could probably run into somebody that don't mess with you like that, or that want to dead you off. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I said before, like being from East Flatbush, you don't have to be street. You could be at the wrong place at the wrong time. I've been in the wrong place at the wrong time way too many times, to the point where it's like I had to stop trusting people. Like, I was so paranoid. Like people that I had love for try to backdoor me. People that I probably put my money in their own pockets try to backdoor me. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, after a while, I used to have that type of fear, that fury. I used to get like very pissed off at certain people. Like, yo, I'm about to really get you back. And I realized to myself, like, if I do that and I get caught, drop the soap, you know what I'm saying? Like, be somebody's girlfriend. Like, I had to think to myself, like, and then when I started traveling, I'm like, there's more to life than me trying to catch somebody lacking. Because like I said before, I don't got to be street. But if I got to think, like, I'm about to get you, I'm going to get you. You know what I'm saying? Like, anything's possible. There's nothing that I'm not afraid to do. You know what I'm saying? But like I said before, like, When I think I got laced that night, my freshman year, because I was tweaking out and I was on the floor shaking. And that guy's homeboy was like, yo, what you gave him? And I could hear that too. So that's when I realized it was something serious after a while. And I had to tell myself that I had to be mindful of who I smoke with. But yeah.
Now, pardon my brain here, but were you smoking it first and then selling it?
All right, so this is funny because I was smoking first in high school before I sold it. Because at the time, like, the laws in New York at the time were very strict about marijuana. Like, people was just getting booked for off, like, dimes. This is before they started having, like, the smoke shots on every other corner, owned by the same person. Honestly, me selling it only stemmed from, like, I had a Just Don hat. Back then, from my group, my age group, it was like having, like, a pair of, like, it was like having a Rolex on your wrist. We had Rolex on our heads. Like, people was getting killed for Just Dons and stuff like that. So at the time, like, somebody in my neighborhood was like, yo, I want to buy that off you. All right, cool. I had, like, 3 Just Dons at the time. And he gave me the bread for that. And then the third time, he was like, yo, I got, like, you know, weed and stuff like that. So I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, because at the time, I didn't get the job from Target. And I wanted pocket money in my pocket. So you know what? I know people keep on saying that there's no bum mans on campus. Let me try to take over my school with the bum man stuff, right? So I got the pack from him, flipped it in probably 2 days, got more from that person, and then one thing to another. So, but it's like, I try my best not to really speak on the situation, but now it's like, I don't sell no more, so what's the issue?
You also mentioned the phrase quarantine. Was that in reference to COVID?
Yeah. A lot of people, like, with quarantine, a lot of people were self-aware of a lot of things. Like, some people knew that they were toxic. Some people realized that they lied for no reason. And some people realized that, oh, I'm eating all this type of food that is killing my body. I'm about to be vegan. I seen so many people come from overweight to skinnier than me. And I was like, damn. I thought they got sick. But some people really, did a whole 360 with their life changes. Proud of them. So.
Now, just to be a little bit more clear on the quarantine, did you ever contract COVID? Or yeah. You're just speaking on the time?
I caught COVID like 3 times. I caught COVID. I love talking about quarantine era because I have a lot of stories about that too. So being from New York, we don't take nothing serious. So when they was talking about, oh, you know, COVID and people losing their lives, I had a show in Miami during spring break. So I ended up flying to Miami that time and they canceled the show. I still got paid for it though, but they were talking about, oh, they about to close all the airports. Flights were like $15. People that I know that owed me money was out there. And I was just like, bro, how is everybody named moms out there? And then I remember at the time I was working at Shake Shack. Shake Shack is very like strict. So I used my PTO or whatever because I knew that I got fired from Shake Shack twice. So I knew I was going to get fired again. But like, I was like, you know what? I'm going to just stay an extra day, tell them I got stuck out here because I requested a PTO. And it was a movie, like Project X, Black People Edition, like Ocean Drive was a movie, like it was a lot going on out there. Like I seen people I haven't seen in years out there during quarantine, and then I left, and then those same people got stuck out there. So I don't know what happened to them during that time, but like it was like crazy, like because they was shutting down airports. People were stuck in Miami. Mind you, the people that paid them $15 flights can't pay those $500 flights coming back because the price has changed because of the, you know, like the demand for it. So
after catching COVID on 3 different occasions, what was your worst bout with it?
I caught COVID. It's funny because like growing up from a Caribbean background, like, my family would, like, they would try to, like, attack me about, oh, you got COVID because you was traveling. First of all, I got COVID from work. Like the third job I had during that quarantine situation, I was working in Staten Island. The people out there had no type of mask. They was wilding. Like, they just was just coughing. Like, they had bronchitis or something. Like, and, like, I was heading to go watch Spider-Man No Way From Home, and then a couple of days later, I caught it. That was like my second time, my third time that I caught COVID. I think I was in Miami this summer for Rolling Loud. I caught COVID from that because a lot of people I knew caught COVID. So COVID is not a good thing to have. Like to the conspiracy theories, whatever the names are, COVID is doesn't exist. 5G, they trying to push a different agenda. Bro, I lost family members to that. I lost friends to that. I lost my great aunt to COVID. It's not a good thing to have. It's like somebody Homer Simpson like choking you, and you sometimes and then your nose is like clogged up, and it's like you just. It's not a good thing to have. Like I would not want to have COVID again. Like. But it helped me lose weight, though.
How much weight?
Like 10 pounds. Like I lost that like in just 1 week.
But your worst bout with COVID during those three occasions, did it ever get to the point where you had to be hospitalized?
No. Hospital was expensive. And like just me like being a West Indian like background, ginger ale would just do you just fine. Like, so.
Well, there were news stories of people being placed on ventilators
Yeah.
because of breathing issues with it. People that ended up passing away, as you
Because
described.
that stems from a lot of underlying health conditions too. Because a lot of people that died from that, they were like overweight or had like high, like serious asthma issues and stuff like that. So it's like I said before, that's why a lot of people started taking a lot of like their health seriously during the quarantine because like, oh snap, Larry from down the block was like 300 pounds, but he died from COVID, and I'm like 250. I need to go to Blink Fitness, and I'm not endorsing them. I'm just saying, give an example. Let me just lose some weight and just, kind of like do some exercises so I won't have to die from COVID down the line too. But yet again, like things be very unfortunate and you don't know when your time is gonna come, so.
Now, prior to contracting COVID, those three occasions, were you vaccinated?
Okay, so I wasn't vaccinated the first time. The last two times I definitely was vaccinated, but it's funny because I was due for my booster around that time that I got COVID. So like it was kind of tricky. Like, oh, I don't know, I caught COVID after I need my booster. Like, so I kind of see why certain conspiracy people be like, oh, like they trying to get you. But yet again, it's like sometimes things wears off if you want to be logical.
Do you remember which vaccine you received?
I had Pfizer and I also had Moderna. I didn't want to mess with Johnson and Johnson because of the stories they had. Yeah, I wasn't trying to take that risk.
Now, zooming out in
Okay.
regards to your upbringing, knowing what you know now, hypothetically speaking, what would you have said to your younger self?
I wouldn't say anything. And the reason why I say that, because everything that has happened to me since back then to now was meant to happen. Me getting kicked out of Old Westbury, me meeting Alex, being best friends at the time, learning more about I have to just not play an image that people want me to play and be myself actually, and just be happy with who I am as a person. Me, like the COVID situation, I feel like if I never caught COVID, I would have never appreciated life as much or me just taking precautions about my health. So I would just let my younger self just, I wouldn't say thug it out, but just go with God's plan because, God not grimy, like he gonna try to bring you to wherever he's gonna align you to, so.
Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum,
Yeah.
what was the top point for you during your upbringing in East Flatbush? What was your highest point or most positive moment growing up in that area?
So East Flatbush is like, it's like a mini Caribbeans. Like you have like the Haitians, Jamaicans, the Trinidadians, Guyanese, Grenadians. So you have all these cultures just in one neighborhood. So I've grew up with a lot of Haitians, Trinidadians, Africans. So I've learned a lot of cultures growing up. So I was more respectful towards other people compared to people who may be ignorant and not understand other people's upbringing. Also about East Flatbush too is like we some hustlers too. Like a lot of us, like we gonna figure it out. So it just made me think outside the box, no matter where I'm at. Like, okay, things is not going my way, but let me think of the positive from the negative. So I turn my negatives into positives. So.
Anything else you want to mention about your upbringing or question you weren't asked? People want to know about that.
Nah, not really.
Who or what motivates you at this point?
I'm not gonna say no celebrity. I just feel like it's the people who've been through hell and back. They show you that even though it's tough times, if you have that mindset, you could get through that storm. And, you know, I've been through a lot of storms lately, and I realized that there's gonna be better days than worse days, so.
Now, circumstances could be different for everyone.
Right.
But there may be someone in the audience who needs some motivational words or encouragement themselves right now. Can you give them any?
The only validation that matters is your own. And why I say that, because sometimes you might ask advice and some people might give you the worst advice that you could ever hear in your life. But it's all about your intuition. If you feel like if something is wrong and right, you're gonna go with your gut feeling. So I would tell that person that what you're going through is gonna help you become a better you. So what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Any other motivation for those in the audience?
Not really. I just, less is more, because you don't want to like just over, you know, kill with some advice with people and stuff like that. Especially like if they're going through something, that then one thing comes from one ear and go out the other. So you just want to just have them just to stick to just one blueprint, because everybody's journey is different. And you literally can't compare your life with somebody else's life. Because when you're comparing, you should be preparing for what is to come in their future days. So it's like, you just can't, like, I don't even give advice no more. Like, I just tell people that sometimes if I'm going through something, you're going through something, it might be two different paths and different outcomes. How you might go through it and how what I might go through are two different things. So you just gotta feel what's really in here, and you just gotta take it day by day.